You're listening to teaching from the Word of God, provided by Black Forest Chapel. This is the church where you will find biblical teaching and authentic worship with family and friends. We are located in Black Forest near Monument and just north of Colorado Springs, Colorado. We invite you to join us this Sunday. Find our location, worship times, and more at blackforestchapel.org.
In this song we just sang, it mentioned about crowns. One of the ways that we express our love is to give. And one of the reasons we'll have a crown is we'll have something to lay at Jesus' feet. God thinks of everything. We will continue our series now in the Gospel of Mark, looking today at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Let me pray for us. Father, as we go through your word, may you give us pause in our hearts to set things aside. Help us to focus. Help us to be listeners of your word, the kind of listening that you are talking about in this parable. Faithful listeners, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable decisions, some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired hand to task for carrying a lantern when he went to call on his girlfriend. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I went a-courtin', I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said in a mocking manner, "and look what you got." You know, light is good. It reveals what's hidden in darkness. Last week, we learned from Jesus' parable of the four soils. Jesus attributed the qualities of these four soils to the hearts of individuals. One was like concrete. It was the pathway. And when God's word lands on the pathway, it's as hard as concrete. The devil quickly comes and takes the word away. A second was attributed to shallow, rocky soil. So when the word of God lands on this heart, it appears to have a positive response. However, because there is no depth, and when the problems, and we know they always come, or if there are consequences related to professing a belief in Jesus, persecution follows. This person's inauthentic faith is revealed. The third heart is also inauthentic in its faith. For as the seed initially grows, it is choked by the thorns, representing the riches and enticements of the world. But the final heart not only hears and receives God's word, but also produces fruit, which is the true indicator of an authentic faith. Also in last week's sermon, Jesus emphasized the necessity to hear his words. But the type of hearing Jesus refers to is one that bears fruit in abundance. This type of listening is one of eagerness with the anticipation to obey. True disciples of Jesus, they want to obey. They are active listeners, desiring to understand so that they may obey. Think about maybe an activity that you enjoy, maybe a hobby. And suppose you have an opportunity to go take a workshop or a seminar on that topic that you're very interested in. I mean, many will go there actively with a pen and pencil, their computer in hand, want to take notes, and they're listening to every word that the instructor or the seminar leader gives. This is the kind of listening that Jesus is talking about. You're active. You're not just there looking around, wondering what's going to happen after this guy's done. But you're coming to learn to apply. This is the type of listening that Jesus is speaking of. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to people who believed in him, "You are truly disciples of mine if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Christians want to walk in freedom from sin, and the Word of God enables us to do this. Yes, the journey, we all know, goes up and down. Got high times and low times. But God's Word carries us through. Sometimes it's all that we have to hold on to. But it is sufficient. For everything we need for life and for godliness is written in God's Word. As I mentioned last week, Jesus said that an understanding of the parable of the four soils was foundational to understand the parables that would follow. Jesus shares three more parables to follow that one that was foundational related to salvation. Today we're going to be looking at the first of those three remaining parables. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." What is the purpose of a flashlight? What's the purpose of a flashlight? I have a flashlight in every one of my cars. Why, if I pass, let's say if I pass a broken down Ford, it's on the long side of the road. I mean, it's at night. You want to be able to get that flashlight out to help that person. Or if I have a flat tire, it enables me to see the tire, take the lug nuts off, get the jack all set up. Imagine if I had a flat tire, it's dark, I get out, turn my flashlight on, and then throw it in my backpack. What good would that be? We all immediately recognize how foolish that would be. This is the idea that Jesus is talking about because he's referring to you and I as lights. Let our light shine. The purpose of every one of my flashlights is to reveal what is hidden in darkness. Now keep that in mind as we go through what we're speaking about in regard to this parable. In the parable of the four soils, Jesus taught that fertile soil, the fertile heart, hears and believes God's word, and it results in fruitfulness. Fruit comes in different forms in Scripture. Fruit of the Spirit, good works, converts, words of praise to God, and also a growing in practical holiness. These are all examples of fruit mentioned in Scripture. One that we're very familiar with is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's important that you know the Holy Spirit produces that, not your effort. Not your strategy. He does that. So what is our role? If he's doing that, our role is to what? Obey. Particularly, we've talked about this topic a lot, starts with an A and ends with an E. Abide. John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you remain in me, unless you stay in constant connection with me. I'm the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In the context here, you can do nothing that brings glory to my Father. The parable of the four soils, its focus was on the people's heart response. How did they respond to the seed that was thrown? The seed, again, in that context, referring to the gospel. In today's parable, Jesus' focus is on the fruit of the fertile soil, of the fertile heart. Specifically, Jesus' disciples are to become sowers and carry God's word throughout the world. And this includes you and me. Most Christians do not have the gift of evangelism. However, all believers have the responsibility to sow the seed as God gives us opportunities. Not all car mechanics focus on rebuilding engines. But one of the things that I've observed in my experience about car mechanics, even though most of them don't build engines, they are aware of what an engine needs to properly run. Someone once described an engine as an air pump. Takes air in, mixes it with fuel, then there's a spark, and then it goes out the tailpipe. So at a bare minimum, an engine needs air, spark, and gas. At a minimum. Every car mechanic knows that. And if he or she doesn't, they won't be in car mechanics for long. But not every car mechanic builds engines for a job. Not everyone is an evangelist, but all of us need to be prepared, be ready to explain the gospel to others. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. What is the gospel? What are the ingredients? Just as I said of an engine, spark, gas, and air. What are the ingredients of the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul speaking to the young church at Corinth, teaching them about evangelism. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. Let's take a look at this for a moment. The priority, what's most important? He says here, I passed on to you what was most important. Think about things in your own life. What do you consider most important? Think for a moment. Most important. How many of those things that come to your mind are attached to eternity? Are those things that are most important, that they're temporal, that there will be no more? Paul says, what I'm passing on to you, there's nothing more important than this. This is the most important. And then he goes on and talks about the raw ingredients of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. The penalties paid. Then he says that Jesus was buried and raised from the dead. Death is defeated. Now, in evangelism, when the gospel is shared, these ingredients need to be there. If they're not there, the gospel has not been shared. Because the good news includes and is defined and qualified by the death of Jesus, by his burial and his resurrection. But it's not just a matter of just saying the words. You know, quick, I got it in. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised from the grave. You got it? You want to accept Jesus? You know, people, we know this, but sometimes we get a little weird when it comes to sharing the gospel. It's kind of like a thing. And if we describe it and think about it as a relationship, that is the most important thing in the universe. That seems to put some qualities to it that can give us pause. Especially when we know we're not doing it by ourselves. I particularly like also what Paul says here. He says, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Paul didn't make this up. This was passed on to him, and he recognized how important, how vital, how necessary it is, and he chose to pass it on to others. Reading from Acts 10 through 18. I'm going to highlight some key words from this passage. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. That's always a good thing, by the way, when the Lord cries out, say, yes, Lord. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. This is kind of cool. He's praying to me right now. It's kind of like I'm listening to him and I'm talking to you at the same time. Who can really do that? Some people try to do that. But someone has to get the priority, either who you're listening to or who you're talking to. And when you try to do both, you're not good at either. But he says he's praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias, and that's, of course, who God's talking to, coming and laying hands on him so he can see again. Remember, he was blind by God, by Jesus. Well, here's what Ananias says. But Lord, now just think about that. Have you ever, parents or grandparents, have you ever had any of your kids or grandkids, you're telling them what to do, but Grammy, but Pap. Look, and this just happened yesterday, and it's kind of like, look, you can't go up in the treehouse without shoes. But, no, there's no buts about it. You do what I tell you to do. No shoes, no treehouse. But this is not a grandchild talking to his pap. This is a creature talking to his creator. He's been instructed to do something, but he's got to get a few words in first. Have you ever done that to God? But Lord, exclaimed Ananias. Now he's going to go on and give us a defense of why he decides to but Lord. I've heard many talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. Now again, take a moment to think about this. What's really going on here with Ananias? I mean, he's been instructed to go to this man's house, Judas' house, and interact with Saul. I mean, how difficult is that? But he's got things to say, interject. We all know what that's like. We've done that. I mean, this guy's done terrible things. Is he saying, I'm afraid of this guy? He might do things to me? Or why in the world would you want me to talk to this jerk? I mean, you know what he's done to your people? And he's done these terrible things to believers in Jerusalem, Ananias says. And he's authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name, God. So what does God say in response? But the Lord said. So the Lord speaks. Ananias does his but thing. And so God comes back. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. So actually, Ananias, it doesn't make any difference about your buts. I've got a plan here, and I want you to obey, even though you don't understand, even though you don't agree, or maybe you're afraid. So Ananias, we like this. So Ananias obeyed. Ananias went and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Interesting introduction. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up, and what did he do? He was baptized. I so enjoyed seeing the fathers baptize their young kids a couple of weeks ago, to see whether they're young or old, follow in obedience to the Lord. See, we don't say when he tells us to be baptized when we're truly one of his. We don't say, but Lord, it's been so long since I've accepted you. You know, he's going to tell you to be baptized because this draws attention to him. As a disciple, you had your heart softened and all the shallowness and rocks and thorns were cleared by God the Father, the master gardener. God, the Holy Spirit, made you alive when you expressed faith in God, the Son. Now what do? You to glorify your Heavenly Father by bearing fruit, which includes telling others about salvation. Now, Jesus taught the above truths in the parable of the lamp, the one we're looking at now. I want to highlight two words I've talked about in the past, and I'm doing this again because I see this commonly in among Christians. I've done this myself. Expectations and expectancy. Expectation is, I want something specific to happen. And when we're to pray, we might have something very specific in mind. I'm not addressing that we shouldn't do that. What I'm trying to highlight is the demanding attitude. We expect God to bow. He should do what I ask him to do. There's a demanding spirit. And what I'm referring to as expectation. I talk, God acts. Second is expectancy. I expect God to do something good. With it, this comes with a hopeful and humble attitude, not a demanding attitude. I expect God to do something good. Sometimes that means he says no to what we ask for. Just like I said, nope, can't go up in the treehouse without shoes. Now, Jesus has one expectation of us in this parable. Jesus expects you to shine your light of salvation. Our Lord actually demands obedience. When you think about what the Lord means, the word Lord, capital L, small or D, it means master. You don't, but Lord. You say, yes, Lord. You obey. No dialogue needed. It's interesting how gracious he is. But when you think about who he is and who we are, it's proper to say, yes, Lord. Even when you don't understand. Because you know his character. Because you know he's holy. He is good. And we can have an expectancy here. Expectancy that Jesus will enable us to do his will as we walk in faith. We demand nothing. Just this last week, I'm not sure who I was talking to, but I shared with them, I said, one of the things I'm learning in my Christian journey, that the older I get, the more I walk with Jesus, the simpler it is. It's I've had all kinds of stuff in the past, but it's really rather simple. The book of Ecclesiastes, great book of a man, probably Solomon, investigating by experience, giving his life to all that the world has to offer. And he kept coming up and saying, it's like trying to catch the wind. It's vanity. And when he ends the book, the only thing I've determined after my experience, not by reading a book, but by actually doing it, is to love God and keep his commandments. That's really simple. Kind of cuts through all the stuff that you and I can get so easily distracted by. I will admit to you that I was looking at getting a different steering wheel. I won't go into all the details of why, because that's not the issue. The issue, I found myself getting consumed on the internet by looking at different steering wheels. Different colors, different shapes, different spokes, different sizes. I don't think it's wrong to buy a steering wheel. But when it consumes you, when it's like it, when you lose sleep over it, when you wake up and the first thing that's handed you is steering wheel, that should be a sign that something's not right. And it was a sign to me. And I remember talking to the Lord about this, confessing it to him. Lord, this is foolish for me to get so consumed about a lousy steering wheel. But I did, and I confessed it, and I'm now free. But the point being, we can get consumed by anything. Remember how Paul said, but I pass on to you what is most important. And Paul was not talking to them about steering wheels, but the gospel, the good news. Now, Jesus hid the truth of the gospel by teaching in parables for two reasons. Those who saw Jesus' holiness and his healing power, but they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. It was one reason. They saw God in human form. And they saw him heal. And yet they didn't acknowledge that he was the Messiah. Two, they believed his power was from the devil. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So because of these two happenings, Jesus began to speak in parables, which hid the truth of his teachings. However, this doesn't mean that the truth of the gospel would always be hidden. But there was a season, and it was a short season, but it was a form of judgment, a rebuke, of those who didn't recognize who he was and would actually attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to the devil. We know this didn't last long because in verse 22, we're told Jesus said, "For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light." Well, what does he mean here? What's he talking about? This hiding was only temporary and would soon be revealed, as well as other secrets. Again, context is important to understand what he's talking about, being hidden and being and secrets being revealed. Thinking about the gospel, thinking about the kingdom of God, these are necessary issues that you need to keep in your mind when you're studying this. The time of lifting the mystery would begin by the teaching of the apostles and the giving of the Great Commission. And through the apostles' teaching, the truth became much more evident, even than what Jesus taught, because it was being carried on. The Spirit of God was illuminating the apostles' minds, teaching them the truth, which we have the rest of the New Testament. Also, the true followers of Jesus would be revealed through persecution and judgment. Remember, there were many people who were following Jesus who really were characteristic of people who had shallow and rocky hearts, who had thorny hearts, and they walked along with everybody else and gave the appearance as being believers. But then as time went on, as the thorns grew, as the cares and concerns of the world were present, they turned away. Oh, they're not true followers of Jesus. We read in the scripture, we've already studied this, that when Jesus said certain things, many of his disciples turned away. In other words, many of the people who physically follow, remember the word disciple means a follower of Christ, a learner, and they gave the appearance of doing just that, which they were. Judas himself was called a disciple of Jesus, but not of the heart. We've learned that the true disciple is one who is circumcised of the heart, not just follows Jesus around. And Jesus is saying, that too will be revealed. Folks, that's still true today. The Word of God is still being taught. The Spirit of God is still illuminating people's minds to the things that they didn't understand, didn't know. And through persecution, people who call themselves followers and they turn away, then others will know, the other believers, the true believers will know, oh, they were never followers to begin with. Even though the true identity of Jesus and his kingdom were not common knowledge, one day the entire world will know who King Jesus is and what his kingdom involves. Does that just make your heart jump? One day, there will be no question. There will be, but Lord, no, there will be none of that. Matter of fact, what will happen is every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, even the followers of all the other religions will confess, Jesus is Lord. No buts. And when he comes, a few will rejoice, but the majority will weep and go off to the eternal lake of fire. Another reason to let your light shine. In the meantime, believers are reminded by the Apostle Peter of who we are. He says in 2:9, "You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God." You can do that because here are your qualifications. "For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." This is true of all Christians, Jews and Gentiles, who are followers of Jesus. Now, Jesus' parable goes on in verses 24 and 25. how listening and understanding are connected. You know, I'm glad that you don't have to be intelligent to understand Scripture. That's not a prerequisite. We're told to listen. Let me show you why intelligence is not required. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Listen to what Jesus says. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. Jesus is referring to what he's teaching. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. Oh, understanding comes from God, not from your intelligence. That should be an encouragement to some of us. It is to me. Oh, he does it. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And let me just qualify, there's a difference between understanding and knowledge. Knowledge is quoting facts, specifics. When I was in seminary, both as a student and as a teacher, I was around people who were very knowledgeable. But to be frank with you, I wondered how deep a walk with God they really had because of the way they acted in the classroom. My name is Dr. When that would happen, I'll tell you honestly, I'd sit there and I'd think, huh. He or she wants me to address them as doctor. The God of the universe allows me to call him by his name, Jesus. I mean, I think there's something there to think about, to reflect upon. You earn your degrees and credentials, okay. But do you have to be called that? It just seems to be incongruent, especially in the household of faith. Again, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. You will receive, and you will receive even more. Based upon what? You got to have intelligence. You got to have a high IQ. It doesn't say that. Isn't that wonderful? Listen closely to my words. I've given you the Spirit of God, my Spirit in you. He will illuminate your mind. To those who listen to my teaching, Jesus says, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding, this is an important warning. Even for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they do have, that will be taken away from them. We're talking about spiritual truth here. To the faithful listeners, Jesus said, pay close attention to every word I tell you. Wow. One of the courses that was not my favorite in college was history. It's interesting how that changed when I became a Christian. But I remember sitting in this class at Penn State, and there probably had to be 300-400. And this prof came in, and he just started to talk. And the way he communicated, man, I was there. I learned so much. There was something about how he communicated and what he said that really got my attention. Hasn't happened since in regard to history. But there was something about him. When you think about learning, teaching in Scripture means to cause to learn. To cause to learn. That takes the power of the Spirit of God for that to happen, especially when it comes to spiritual truth. Jesus is talking to the faithful listeners. Pay close attention to every word I tell you. Is any word that comes out of Jesus' mouth unimportant? These truths are to be to both guard your mind and guide your life every day. Think about guarding. We can see the The sentries standing at the doors with their weapons, guarding the door. We get that. The word of God the word of God is to guard our minds. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, guarding your mind according to God's word. Watch what comes in. Keep stuff out. Guard your mind. But also the word of God guides us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. The value of the word of God, why we should listen. Jesus gave his followers an evangelistic responsibility, which they are to be faithful to. The more you pay strict attention to my words, Jesus says, the more I will reveal to you. I've been around people that people around them wouldn't call them bright, intelligent. But they've walked with God for 30 and 40 years. And I got to tell you, when someone is in the Word of God for 30 or 40 years and they open up their mouth, listen. I used to tell my seminary students, if you have an opportunity to sit down with a man or a woman who has walked with God for 50 years, take a vacation day and go, listen, go ask questions. Someone who has walked with God for 50 years, go listen. Spend some time with them. You know what? There are some of you in here that have that ability to pass on to the next generation and you're not doing it. Just a thought. How long have you walked with God? You have the privilege to share that with others. And many of you, you're very faithful to do that. The more you pay strict attention to my words, the more I will reveal to you. Many Christians are just too busy to listen closely to Jesus. It's getting time. We probably shorten this up, shouldn't we? We're always looking at this, or we pull out the phone. Oh, hold on a second. Yep, it's about time. Getting close. Well, we get distracted by technology, by the world, by the things. Sometimes we act like the soil that's got thorns around it. When we get distracted, when we don't listen closely, as Christians, this will result in little fruit in your life and a little understanding of Scripture. Diligent Christians do the work their Father gives them. As Christians faithfully do their work, Jesus promised that they will be blessed with more opportunities and the needed power to carry out that work to its end, all glorifying our Heavenly Father. This is why Jesus gets so excited, because he wants his Father to be glorified, our Father. And he says, you can't do that without abiding in me. Understanding what Jesus said is further highlighted by using farming terminology, passage that we're probably all familiar with, but it's one of those universal spiritual principles. Galatians 6:7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Look, when a farmer plants corn, he doesn't reap carrots. I mean, it's so obvious. It's so innately obvious that how would you expect to get carrots when you plant corn? Well, how would I expect to reap spiritual things when I'm sowing the things of the world? I mean, the same is true of Jesus' spiritual kingdom. If the farmer is also lazy and neglects his field, his harvest will be greatly limited. Farmer's sitting there, sun's out, oh, it's kind of hot. I think I'll just stay in the shade today. Don't want to get out there in that field, you know. Plus, I'll save some fuel in my John Deere tractor. Probably won't have to take a shower tonight because I won't be out in the tractor in that sweat. Probably won't have any blisters on his hands either, you know. Well, what do you expect this guy's? What kind of harvest is he going to get? Because weeds are going to grow up. He's not watering. One commentator said this: many believers start the Christian life with enthusiasm and devotion. They train carefully for a while, but soon they tire of the effort and begin to break training. Before long, they are disqualified from being an effective witness. They do not have what it takes because they are unwilling to pay the price. The flesh, the world, everyday affairs, even for the Christian, can be problems for us. Simple laziness can hinder our spiritual growth and preparation for service. And I might add, in the business of life. That was Jesus' message to the faithful listener. But to the unfaithful, he said this: to those who really represent the shallow and rocky soil, remember these parables built upon one another, rocky and shallow soil, also the thorny soil, they will receive nothing no matter what they say. For they were never a child of God, and what blessing they did experience, that will be taken away. Jesus warned them. You think about all those who followed Jesus, and they got to see things that you and I as Christians long to see. Face to face with Jesus, watching him perform miracles, casting out demons. There were many non-believers who followed Jesus around, given the appearance of the disciples or a disciple, and yet they were not, and they fell away. Even that blessing to see that was taken away. The Lord's words to them and to people like them, even today, are found in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father. Underline that if you would like to do that. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. The will of my Father in heaven will enter. Verse 22, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So just because you're religious, just because you give the appearance, that's not a guarantee. Now, whether or not these people were lying about casting out demons and prophesying in Jesus' name, it's not explained here in this passage. But again, it's not, but Lord, no buts. Jesus says, I never knew you. No buts is going to get you into the heaven. It's not going to work. So what's our application? What are some things that we can meditate on from this parable? Shining your light in Scripture refers to godly life, holiness, and doing good. But in this parable, your light specifically means in context, communicate the light of the gospel to those around you. Every Christian has been given the light of the gospel, and you are not to hide it. I mean, It's like me, again, getting out, dark at night, flat tire, turn my flashlight on and throw it in my backpack. Let your light shine by scattering the word of God. Remember, you're a farmer. You're to sow the word of God. Throw it out there. We know it's going to land on one of four kinds of soils. Our job is to be the faithful sower. Sow the word of God in your communities, in your barber shops, in your hair salons, at your workout areas, with your car mechanics, with your neighbors. Some of you have been doing this for a long time, and I commend you for that. And some of you recently started, and I commend you for that. Continue to be faithful, and remember to rely on the power you have already been given. And this power has nothing to do with your intelligence. Now, I'm not trying to in any way communicate anything about our congregation, that we're dumb. I think, actually, you're all very intelligent. The problem is, when you start relying on your intelligence or your cleverness instead of the Spirit of God, then that's the problem. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. How is it that we're going to be a witness? Because of the power that comes upon us through the Spirit of God. Now, let me share with you something I've learned about evangelism. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more you will open your mouth on His behalf. The closer you walk with Him, you're just going to start opening your mouth more and more on His behalf. This past week, you've heard me talk about my one car buddy, Bill. I have him listed as the chief car mechanic on my car. He gets a kick out of that. And he's the guy I've taken down to the Corvette Museum and been with me for about a 7-8 day trip. And I've known this guy now for 15 years. He's still not a believer. I keep praying for him, and our friendship keeps getting closer and closer and closer. I was over at his shop this last week. And Rick knows him. I mean, this guy is a Ford guy. Can you imagine? He works on Corvettes. Rick and Bill, they gang up on me. They've done this once or twice, right in my presence. It was hard. But I told him, my wife's a counselor. A week or so, I'll get through it. But Bill was telling me about there was a death in his family. And we're talking about death, dying. And Bill went over and the conversation started with that he got his will done. Finally got his will done. Boy, I'm glad I got that done. And he was telling me, yeah, I talked to the person, we're drawing up the will here, and he said, well, now you know how to bury me, but can you help me with my soul? And I just stand at it, I'm just like, well, this is good. This is good. And I said, and the guy couldn't help him with the soul. I said, well, Bill, I know someone who can help you with your soul. Matter of fact, there's only one who can help you with your soul. And Bill knew who I was talking about. And about 5 minutes went by, and then I come over, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, now, Bill, you and I have talked a lot about this. What is holding you back from accepting Jesus? I'm not, I don't know. Now, which one of those soils is he? I don't know. It's not my job to figure it out. My job is to be faithful to sow and to persuade and to love him even if he never becomes a Christian because he's been made in the image of God. Pressure's off, folks. Love. Share, pray. And you may say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to share the faith. I really want to, but to be honest, I'm really afraid. I understand that. Jesus says to you, I am with you. I'm with you. Matter of fact, remember he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Open up your mouth on my behalf. You may say, I don't know what to say. Jesus says to you, feed on my word. You feed on God's word, you'll know what to say. The Spirit of God will bring it to your attention. I mean, there are verses that I've had in my brain that I haven't reviewed for a while, and man, it comes out of, whew. Oh, and by the way, it's, and I think, wow, I haven't reflected on that verse for a while. But the Spirit of God, someone once said, when you have the Word of God in your mind, and a situation comes up, it's as though the Spirit of God reaches into the quiver of your heart and pulls out the arrow of the Word of God and shoots it into the heart of the listener. He does that. And rather than just quoting it for the sake, and the Bible says this, and smack him with it, share it in such a way of how it's affected your life. Here's what I'm learning. Because people, again, you've heard this before, they don't want to be your project. But to know that you're loved. I mean, I was in, the reason I was in seeing Bill is because I figured after 98,000 miles on my Jetta, it was time to change the fuel filter. That's the diesel, and I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. I'm being a car guy, but I'm an internal combustible kind of guy. I'm talking to Gary Tucker, not that Gary Tucker, but another Gary Tucker, last week, or 2 weeks ago. We were talking about this because I was having some problems with mine, and I thought, I need to change the filter. So I got a hold of Bill and get the filled over, and the filter was $32. And we were there for about an hour. That's when this conversation took place, and Bill charged me $32.50. I said, Bill, you don't have any labor on here. He said, Mike, you're such a good friend. All these things you talk to me about. Bill's not a believer yet, but he knows he's loved. And I love that man. And I pray for his salvation. And I know you have people like that in your life. At least I hope you do. Feed on God's word. You may say it's humbling. It's a humbling process when you sit down, especially when you encounter someone who's got a hard heart like concrete. They start saying things to me and making fun of me, or they have an answer for everything I say. It's humbling. Jesus says to you, humility is good. You may not be a great evangelist. Most people can't do what Billy Graham did. But greatness is not what you and I have been called to be. We have been called to be faithful. Faithful. Therefore, shine your light in this dark world. Let me pray. Father, what a privilege it is to be a member of your family. And that will never change. You will always be our Heavenly Father. Always loving us perfectly. But Lord, and I use the word, but Lord, you have also given us the privilege to worship you for all eternity. Help us to continue to grow in worshiping you here on earth now by being about the good works of sowing your word among others, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from the Word of God. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to visit Black Forest Chapel in Black Forest, Colorado, near Monument and just north of Colorado Springs. You'll find biblical teaching and authentic worship in an environment that feels like family and friends. Get directions and more information at blackforestchapel.org.